Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello, please, lovely ones. This is a very Christmassy one. Yay! To see the month of Christmas in, why not? I'm hoovering with ITV's This Morning's lovely resident chef, Clodagh McKenna. Thanks for listening to this episode of Hoovering. Thanks for listening to all the episodes of Hoovering. You can help a mama out, that's me, by giving it a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts from, and by subscribing to it. Also, all I want for Christmas is you to tell other people about Hoovering and force them nicely, in legal ways, into listening to it too. I'd love that. If you've got even more than the energy and time it takes to do that, if, for example, spare cash knocking about, I'd love that too. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you will see excellent podcast-related stuff, like exclusive content and discount tickets to live shows like the one we've got coming up first weekend of February at the Leicester Comedy Festival coming up over at patreon.com/thehooveringpod. If you'd like to come and see me do some stand-up, I run a new material night called Honer's Club in Camden, North London, and it's done for 2021 now, but there's a bunch of dates on sale for 2022 now. They're all on my website. They will all be me doing a full preview, i.e. up to an hour of new stuff that will one day be a show. And it'll be me and one other brilliant friend doing the same. At the moment on the Camden Comedy Club website, it says that all the gigs are with Sarah Barron. They're not. Sadly, they're not. But they are with people like Izzy Sooty, Mark Watson and Sophie Duker. And also including one friend who's so Hollywood famous, I can't even list them. So snap up your tickets. They're only £6 and they will all sell right out. Links to all the things I've just said there and to everything that Clodagh and I mention in the podcast you're about to hear are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Do use those notes because they take me ages to write. Thanks. Okay, so let's have this lovely episode. It's a shorty because Clodagh only had such a wee window in which to talk to me in. I mean, I thought, do you know what? It doesn't matter, does it? I'm busy, you're busy, she's busy. And you'll be pleased to hear that we cram a serious amount of loveliness into the time that we did have. I define you not to be made peckish by this episode. Is a particularly tasty one. We talked over the Zooms, as she's based far away from me and from anyone else by the sounds of it, out in the sticks, which also explains the, her slightly poor connection at times, but it's fine. You can hear us both throughout, and my editor Emma has done a great job of clearing the sound up as best as possible. It still sounds absolutely fine. It just, you can tell we're not in a studio together. You're going to love this. Prepare to get deep into Christmas eating rituals. Delicious.
Nice, it feels official. Here we are.
I know, yeah. There's no way anyone would know. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? You wouldn't want people to be secretly make it possible to record something they didn't want recorded. Well, how are you, first of all, other than busy?
I'm great. I am really good. Excited about Christmas. Mm. Finally, we have a Christmas that we can actually do this year, which is exciting.
I know, big time. Yeah, I just had a real pang of that the other day, of thinking, God, yeah, it is going to be so lovely to tour around seeing everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to talk about Christmas stuff, but first of all, I need to show you that I've just made from your book, from your new book, In Minutes. I went right to the back because I think if I'm cooking for someone who I'm talking to's book, I'd get, you know, you get 10 pages in and you're already excited. That did happen. There's loads. Also, because you open with stuff that only takes 10 minutes to make. So I was like, well, this is too easy. And I wanted a challenge. So I skipped to the back where it's half an hour things. And it was half an hour. I made this like sausage and butternut squash. I'm going to say.
Orchetti.
Yeah. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think orchetti pasta, yeah.
Orchetti pasta, because I was saying orchetti, which is maybe racist.
Isn't that the same thing? Orchetti, yeah. Orchetti. It's just my Irish accent.
Well, I don't know. I feel like, you know what you're doing cooking-wise. I have been brought up by a brilliant and lovely mum, but who says things like focaccia instead of focaccia bread and things like that. So I just I'm waiting until I become her, and I'm going to eat this while we talk. God, it smells amazing. Can't go wrong with a bit of butternut squash and sage. And we're talking on I can't remember where you're based at the moment, but I'm in South East London and it's freezing and very grey today.
I know, you're very brave with a sleeveless top on.
Well, actually, we've had the heating on, sorry, planet, and I'm fresh back from the gym and then straight into cooking. So I thought, actually, rather that than do a sort of really eggy disrobe for you, pull my hoodie off.
So I am based in Highclere Park in Hampshire.
Lovely.
And I have been this morning out for most of the morning. We started here at 6 this morning with all the crew arriving because we did a live broadcast for this morning.
Amazing.
Which is really fun. So we dug up all lovely root vegetables from the garden and I made Christmas spiced parsnip cake. I made curried parsnip and apple soup. And I also made root vegetable crisps. That's a great way to use up any root vegetables that you've got left over.
Great. Oh my word.
So that was my morning so far.
Idea of root vegetable crisps. Could you do that just with the peelings, or do you need a whole root vegetable?
You need the whole root vegetable. So you wash your root vegetable. Okay. It could be sweet potato, carrot, beetroot, parsnip, celeriac. So you wash and peel it. And then once you've got the first layer of peel off, that skin, then you just peel normally, really thin strips.
Right.
And then you pop them, you've got to spread them out. So if you're doing a lot, you need to do a couple of baking trays.
Right.
And then preheat your oven to 100 degrees Celsius or gas mark one. And then let them dry bake inside there until they become dry and crispy. It takes between an hour and a half, depending on how moist your vegetables are. Mm. And then you take them out once they're dry and crispy and you toss them in sea salt. But you could also add in chili flakes into it if you wanted to, or smoked paprika. And they are just gorgeous. And I store them in just those kind of Tupperware tubs because I keep them really crisp and they're really tight. And then, I've got a whole batch of them now for the weekend. It's a really healthy snack. And it's a really healthy snack and a really great way if you just have, sometimes I just have like one carrot left or one parsnip left. And you're like, what am I going to do with one carton parsnip? You can make your own root vegetable crisp. And it takes seconds to do. Well, minutes. But you can have it done in 10 minutes. Easy.
I love it. You're so good. Well, this whole new book is all about getting things done just in a short amount of minutes. Presumably that's just inspired by a very, very busy life.
It is. You know what? So during lockdown, I started on my Instagram. I started doing a daily recipe video. And I did 134 days in a row on it.
Wow.
And it was brilliant. And so I kind of started this this lovely kind of community started on my Instagram, really kind of like organically and naturally. And it went from 30,000 followers now up to 200,000 followers. And
oh, my crumbs alive. I need to start doing some cookery.
And then it just, and so why I'm telling you that story is because the community that I have there are really interactive. Like, they're really interactive. So much so that I had to employ somebody full time just to answer DMs.
Wow.
It's like a customer service. We're like a cookery customer service on my Instagram. That's what my husband calls it. She spends all day answering all the DMs and then sends me WhatsApps all throughout the day going,
whoa,
if you don't have an onion, could you use da da da? Or if you're a celiac, what could you use instead? And it's really great. And I take it quite like, I love that people can feel like they can come onto my page, and it's a really, you know, it's not just the kind of like, oh, look at me, look what I'm doing. It's like, it's actually an interactive one. So there was like lots of feedback from people saying that now that lockdown has all opened up and people are going back to their normal lives, but they don't have the time anymore to cook, but they want to live, you know, a better lifestyle. They want to be cooking, they want to eat healthy. And so then the idea of this book came. I said, you know what, there's such a need, but surely somebody has done a book that's 10, 20 and 30, because that's in my mind, being a busy person, and we always have family around, it's quite a busy house and life, that I cook every single night of the week. We live in the middle of the country, so we don't have, like, I can't just dial a takeaway. I dialed a takeaway, it would probably take 2 hours or something like that. And I'd be like, okay, so when you get to the gate to the park, it'll take me 5 minutes to drive down and meet you. By the time it gets up here, the food is like, you know, 2 days old.
Oh, my word.
So it just doesn't happen. And anyhow, I stopped cooking in the evening. I feel like it's definitely better for my health. I know my health is better from it. So I usually pick either 10 minutes, like definitely tonight, because I've had a 5 a.m. start. And we had the ITV Palooza last night, which finished, I got home for 2 o'clock.
London. Going all on great guns. Have you got leftovers from those things, though, or do the crew just scoff them up?
I did feed all the crew.
They're keeping doing it here
at the moment. So we had a big lunch for everybody. I just did a big spread for everybody. But like, for example, for tonight, it will definitely be like a 10-minute night when I'm feeling just kind of tired and I just want something delicious and tasty. And I just want to treat myself. Like, when I say treat myself, I want to like have that time when I finish. And I'm quite strict. I finish at 5 o'clock every single day. And that's it. I'm like computer down and that's it. And I have a whole ritual. I have a bath. I start cooking. I light the fire. We sit down and have our supper. I get to bed at 8:30, and you know, we have a whole ritual going on.
8:30, you get to bed.
I do, you know, because I'm up so early.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just couldn't do it. So I'm at my best at like 6 a.m. because I'm at the bed so early. But I love the morning time.
Yeah.
Some people are night owls. I'm definitely a morning person. I love the morning. I like wake up with a smile on my face, and at night I'm kind of like, I want to go to sleep. I am a baby. but they do say, like, there is a lot of studies being done. I'm like diverting now, but a huge amount of studies done on your well-being. And we should, as humans, be going to bed at that time, and we should be getting up that early, because we should always be trying to sleep with the light. Obviously that's hard now during the winter time, but the earlier you can go to bed, the better it is for your health.
There's a lot of interesting stuff about sleep, isn't there? There's loads of stuff coming out now about if it's better if you can breathe through your nose in the night and stuff like that.
Well, it is actually better if you breathe through your nose.
And I read something really interesting when I was trying to get my son, who's 6 now and does luckily sleep through the night now, but when he was a baby, he never slept for more than 2 hours at a time for years. And I remember reading a really gentle book about sleep that said that we actually, like in the hemisphere that we live in, have kind of forced our bodies to do huge chunks of awakeness in a way that isn't necessarily natural, in the sense that there are loads of cultures that aren't, you know, that are potentially doing it better. The people who have a nap in the middle of the day, like you say, really early starts, they're allowed a doze at some point, good couple of hours kip in the middle of the day. And if they're going to carry on later into the night in terms of socialising, eating with family, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it is really interesting, isn't it? I know, and all the people I know who are like exercise people, like actual for their job, you know, athletes, they're them and relatively new parents and you, who are all warriors in my eyes, are all the people I know who go to bed at 8:30. But I sadly am a night owl and creak into action. I'm not grumpy in the morning at all. But I just have a busy head until late into the night. Even when I've tried so hard to go to bed at 9, I will end up just lying there awake for weeks. So I gave up on that. But it's
I am good at naps.
I'm good at naps.
You're good at naps. I'm not a good napper. My sister's like you. She will work right into the night until 1 or 2 in the morning, finishing documents and stuff. And she is quite grumpy in the morning, I have to say. She is the nicest person I know in my life. I'm very lucky to have her as my sister. But the interesting thing about breathing through your nose, which I've only been learning about recently, and I'm really trying hard to do it, is that, like, so there was huge studies done on looking back at, like, skulls from like years ago and the breathing and how people breathe. And years ago, people would always naturally breathe through their nose. And the reason it's important to start breathing through your nose more than your mouth is because there's a natural infiltration system through your nostrils that will help protect you from toxins. So when you breathe in constantly through your mouth, there is no filtration system. And so
that's what your nose hairs is for, isn't it?
Yeah, and more.
And more.
So it's not just the hairs, it's actually all the system here.
Oh, wow.
That helps keep it all out. And then, you know, and important to blow your nose as much as possible to not blow your nose off. But when you're breathing into your mouth, you're breathing in all the toxins. That's probably another podcast. Nose breather or are you a mouth breather?
You could call a podcast Hoovering and have it be about how you breathe in and out as much as about eating. I can't.
That's true.
Maybe. I have to say this pasta is really delicious. Every element of it. And I made it, like, I only had the 30 minutes, so I really did make it in 30 minutes, including chopping time. And I was worried, I was like, am I going to have to pretend that the squash is cooked? But it's fine, it's fine, it's really delicious. But you can taste every element. I think that's really impressive and a really good sign that, well, obviously you've just really thought it through, but there's wine and cream and it's quite decadent, but also I just worked out for a while, so there's two proteins. I use these new... This is not that new this is or this is not range of fake sausages. And I love cannellini beans.
Me too.
And I love kale. I love everything in it. And then a little bit of shallot and garlic. I love an excuse to buy shallots. It was lovely. And I already had the butternut squash in, so that felt like fate. Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Because you've got such a lovely Christmassy backdrop, which listeners won't be able to hear, but I can tell you with my eyes and mouth is really beautiful. And the first one of the year. I want to talk about, what's your Christmas eating ritual like? Do you have like how does your day go in terms of Christmas? Let's talk about the eating and the drinking on Christmas Day for you, please.
I go big on Christmas and I go long, as in like, or Christmas starts, well, what are we now, November?
Yeah.
So my, yeah, Christmas goes, I kind of stretch it all out quite long. On Christmas Day itself, I'm quite traditional. We have a lot of family coming for this Christmas, which is brilliant. And so we always start off the morning with a traditional Irish fry-up, which I never have any other time of the year except for Christmas morning.
Really?
I do it on Christmas morning. I do like the sausages, the bacon, the plum, or the black pudding, fried bread, beans, eggs. We have our own chicken, so we'll be frying up eggs, and I just put it all out on the big table and we'll all munch into that. And then we go for a really big walk after that, so a big hour walk. Everybody gets their wellies on and the doggies come and we do a big walk. And then when we get back from that, everybody goes up and showers and gets their nice clothes on. And then we do Christmas present opening with champagne. And then so I light the fire, I get all the candles going, get the Christmas songs on, and we do fabulous Christmas opening. And then I'll do little canapes and kind of like little bits and pieces to eat with that, like I'll do like gravlax on bellinis with some creme fraiche. I might do some oysters because I love oysters. I know not everybody loves oysters, but I love
them. I do.
And I'm getting some over from Ireland, which is exciting this year.
Yummy.
And then after that, then everybody sits down for the big main event. And then for starters, I go traditional on it. I do the same thing every year. And I think if I changed it, there'd be war. I get my smoked salmon from the same place in the last, I don't know how many years. Right. 20 years from the Burren Smokehouse in County Clare, beneath the curtain, and that comes all the way over. I actually just ordered it last week, and so we do. And I make my rosemary clove de bread, which is in the book as well.
Is that the sneaky little 50 minuter at the end?
Yes, I couldn't. Yes. You know what? It was actually my publisher said, we can't put out the book without putting your bread into it. Every book has to have your bread in it, and it's my most downloaded recipe on ITV this morning, also on my website, everything. Like a lot of people make this bread because basically it's a stir, shape, and bake bread. So there's no kneading, there's no proofing, there's no waiting around. It's like my unfancy, really healthy because it's good, homey bread that I make every single Saturday morning. And I make a couple of loaves every Saturday morning and it lasts me through the whole week. And I notice the difference if I don't have that bread and I buy in bread, even if it's like my sourdough from the supermarket or something, I can tell the difference in my tummy, in my
digestion.
It doesn't feel the same. It feels like I'm having a bit of toast, but it's fine when I have my soda bread. Anyhow, I'm digressing again. So I have my soda bread made and we have that with lovely butter, and I always make aioli, which is a really lovely garlic mayonnaise made with egg yolks from our chickens and olive oil and sunflower oil and mustard in there and lemon and dill, and that goes with the smoked salmon and the soda bread.
Oh, the dill is in the aioli because that's a touch. Oof,
oh, lovely. Amazing. Yeah, dill or fennel you could put in there. It's really nice. And then on to the main event. I ordered my turkey last week as well. I did all my food orders for Christmas last week. And so I always, when I'm doing my turkey, and here is a tip for anybody who finds their turkey gets dry, which I think is most of the nation, is so you have the skin of the turkey, and a lot of people will usually just put their flavored butter or whatever, because it's really nice to add flavor into your butter that you're going to baste around your turkey. I like to add in squeeze and zest of an orange.
Yeah.
I'll add in some thyme into it, some mustard and things like that. And it's great to smear it around the skin, but the most important place to smear it is underneath the skin.
Yeah.
So if the legs of the turkey are facing and the cavity away from you, you've basically got the back end of the turkey. And then you flip up the skin at the back end of the turkey. And there's a natural, you can do it with your hands, you can put gloves on, you can do it with a knife. There's a natural thing that kind of ease, that the skin easily comes up if you just slightly break it. And push the salt and flavored butter underneath. So you're smearing it all over the breast of the turkey. And what that does is that when it goes into the oven then, that butter melts down directly into the actual meat of the turkey rather than just on the skin.
Yeah.
Because when you put it on the skin, it doesn't really get into the turkey. And that, I tell you, keeps it really moist. And then I put it, so when I'm putting it into the oven, I first put it upside down, my turkey.
Yeah.
Okay. So all the fat goes right down. And then I turn it. And then I do it that way. And then I'll have roast potatoes, which I parboil first.
Yeah.
And then once they're parboiled, then I do them on the frying pan with a little bit of goose fat and rosemary and garlic. Mm. And I crisp them up on the pan. And then I use
my... Put flour on them?
I don't. But some people put corn flour on them to get them...
When they're in the fluffing stage. Between the parboiling and the frying.
Do you want to actually...
Some flour and some thyme then. Okay. A little rougher all around. Who knows?
What's a really good tip if you didn't want to put flour on it is a potato masher. So you get your potato masher and you just gently give them a little push. And what that does is it breaks the potato just slightly. And then when you toss them, they get all that crumbliness. And then I put them into the, take the turkey out and dot them around there once they've had that thing done. And then I always make... a Christmas spiced red cabbage, which is a slow braise of red cabbage with ginger in it and cloves and apple cider vinegar, brown sugar, apples on the top and raisins in there. And that's gorgeous.
Raisins, yum. Cinnamon?
Yeah. A little bit of cinnamon.
A little bit of cinnamon. Love it. Star anise?
I don't, but I'll do it this time.
Okay. That's my favourite. I think a tiny bit of star anise lifts any of those Christmassy, but my
dream
is so delicious.
I put star anise into my cranberry sauce that I make. So anybody that out there listening that actually buys cranberry sauce, don't do it this year because out of all the things you make at Christmas,
it's
the best thing that you can make it fresh. And it's so easy to make.
So easy.
Fresh cranberries, a little bit of water, sugar, cinnamon stick. I do put star anise into that. And then I get a fresh piece of ginger and I stud it with cloves so that's easy then to take out. And I actually put a little, a whole chili in there as well. And that gives a little bit of a spice.
Yes,
which is really nice. And then for dessert, I always make a big trifle. I do a mascarpone one. So instead of double cream, I use mascarpone. So it's like a mix between a tiramisu and a traditional sherry trifle. That's my trifle. I do it with creme de cassis because creme de cassis is really, really beautiful with the... I know people traditionally soak the sponges in sherry, but definitely try just cooking off your berries just for a minute or two in creme de cassis because it will... You'll never do your trifle any other way. And those recipes are all up on my website. I've got a whole new Christmas recipe section. So
get in!
Grab them.
Well, we can send people there.
And then I'll have blue cheese. It'll be Stilton this year. We'll be getting a local blue Stilton cheese. And I'll make my oat cakes to have with it. And we have our own honey. So we harvest our own, we make our own honey. We'll have our own honey with it. And that's Christmas Day. And then I'll just fall on the couch and watch a Christmas movie.
It sounds immense. What an incredible answer to that question. I don't think that anyone will ever top that. And to get all the detail of how you make it all as well, I mean, I feel very privileged. Thank you very much.
I'm in my tum.
I'd better ask you some of the silly questions that I always ask on this podcast.
Okay, go for it.
5-second rule, yes or no?
5-second rule. What does that mean?
It means if something's gone on the floor, will you still eat it if you pick it up very quickly?
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, definitely.
Good. Okay, good to know. Have you ever had a patch where you ate the same thing every single day?
No.
No, okay. Just the same bread every single week.
Yeah, but it would be with different things, so it wouldn't be...
Ah, I see. Yeah. I love it. It's fine if you, also if you haven't got answers to any of these. What's the worst looking but best tasting thing you've ever eaten?
The worst looking but best tasting. Would probably be the worst looking is, what would it be? It would probably be some sort of stew because it all looked brown and unexciting.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like my mom's Irish stew. I was just looking at that recipe a few minutes ago because I was gathering all the recipes for next week for this morning. Yeah. And that doesn't look so exciting, but it's right. One of my favourite things to eat, especially mm-hmm. when I'm feeling a little bit like I need a cuddle or a hug or something. Yes. And I miss my mom and I'll make the Irish stew.
Oh, I love it. If there was no other option, would you eat a person?
No.
Okay, cool. so fun to ask. It's incredibly rare that people say no. It is, actually. It's really interesting, I think. Do you believe there's anything that demands to be eaten in a particularly ritualistic way? A classic example is the Cadbury's cream egg. For example, but people have given me all sorts of things, you know, Big Macs through to how they have a salad of some sort, like anything that you think has got to be done one in a certain way.
Let me think. I'm just trying to think of last weekend. I made a big pot of my Mexican chocolate beef chili. And the next day, like we had it for dinner that night and everybody sat down and had it. But the next day, the following day, the leftovers, which is always the best, I popped it into a little bowl for us and I lit the fire and I put on a movie and we all cuddled up on the couch with blankets and bowls of chili and bread. So the bread. To dunk into it and yogurt, and I actually don't think there's any other way you can eat leftover chili but on the couch with a blanket and a fire going and a movie.
Oh God, I mean, that sounds incredibly idyllic.
Yeah.
And a really lovely answer. As someone who is a food wizard and obviously knows what they're doing with, what I would actually love to know, if you've got time, how you got into doing what you do, but also, I wanted to ask if you know, it's quite specific, why does certain things, especially things with spice or heat in them, taste so much better the next day as leftovers or once they've been frozen and defrosted? What's gone on there?
It's all the sugars and the spices. Right. If you give them any time and you're reheating and all the rest, spices always react to heat. They get more intense in flavour. And things like root vegetables, the longer you kind of cook them down, if you're doing like a soup, for example, you want to cook them down for as long as possible before you add in the stock. Because all of a sudden you're getting all the starchy sugars out of them. They all come out of it. And the flavour then is so much better.
Is that the same reason why when you make a red sauce, you know, like a pasta tomato sauce, the slower and longer you can do it for, the sweeter the tomatoes get then?
Well, yeah, because the water from it will evaporate. So tomatoes are like, I can't remember, I think it's like 99% water or something like that. All that water will evaporate. So you're getting that really intense tomato flavour, like wine as well.
Yeah. And I would love to know how you ended up being a food wizard.
22 years ago, I started training as a chef. I decided I wanted to go into cooking. And it was before it became, I guess, as popular and exciting as it is now. Back then in Ireland, it was like, when I went to tell my parents, it was definitely you're going to do what? Are you kidding me? And it was a hard, it's definitely a hard slog, but it's exciting. I'm so happy I did it. I was very young and in very busy kitchens and training and for years. And then I got to travel with it then. I lived in Italy, I lived in New York, I lived in France. And then I
was always in food places.
Amazing. And so I always got to kind of work within food. So at one point I came out of the kitchens and I actually started opening up farmers markets around Ireland, because there's only like 4 farmers markets in Ireland. There's now over 130 something. And so I got really involved in that, and the government backed me on it. And that was really exciting. I did that for 3 years. And that was really exciting. And then, yeah, and then TV came along really naturally. I just got asked if I wanted to do a TV series, and I thought maybe. I filmed it in Ireland, and then the minute it was finished filming, I moved to Italy. And so I was never kind of, and I remember the first time I came back after it'd been on every single week in Ireland, and I came back and it was like, okay, so I'm now a household name. Okay, great. I can't walk down the street. So it was quite amazing. And that was like a long time ago. So that I got used to that very, very quickly in Ireland. And it's just been that way since. It was like about 14 years ago when I did my first TV series. And then I moved to England 6 years ago to London. It's been, I love living here. I love the food scene here. I love my job at this morning. I started officially at this morning 9 months ago, and it's just been an amazing, I love it. I love to get to cook live every single week, sometimes twice a week, for 3 million viewers. It's brilliant.
It's extraordinary.
I know, it is a really iconic show here, isn't it?
And when you put it like that as well, it's an enormous amount of pressure. But now I get like, I was like, how is this lady so sane and calm? But it's that clocking off at 5 o'clock thing. And you go, I understand. You've just nailed the self-care to go with this
high
pressure life.
Also, you really do have to.
I think like it's obviously entirely different being a comedian, but also you have, I think in any job where you need to make room for creativity, it's an absolute must to have, to not be essentially, have your to-do list so full that there's no gaps for that. And that 5 o'clock bath is like, I feel like that's gold dust.
It is gold dust.
Because I think people assume that successful people never stop. And
a lot of them don't.
They'll break. Not everybody can do that. And very few people can do that and not be happy anyway. I think, and we're talking about the sort of eating that brings great, deep joy that goes with, I feel like it's really natural that things like just going to bed an hour earlier or, taking an hour out and having a bath and flicking through a book, turning a screen off, etc. It's a big deal. All those things tie in with each other.
Well, I do think like, even if it's not doing it for work, even just as humans, what we have to do, I think it's what I definitely have learned over my life is that it's like, people are always asking me, oh my God, how are you so happy? What do you do all the time? And I'm like, I do make an effort. It's number one. My number one priority is my, before everybody, my own thing is my own self-care and making sure that, I think every day when I get up, I do my exercise. I meditate twice a day. I drink a pint of green vegetable juice in the morning after I've exercised and after I've meditated. Like, I give all of that time to myself. And then I work really hard during the day, and then I'm a cut off. Like, I'll get so many requests from like my agent or a publicist, and they'd be like, they can only do 7 o'clock, or can you do this at 8? I'm like,
nope. Good for you.
No, because it's so important, because then you can't.
It is so important.
You've got to have a balance in your life.
Yeah, totally. An angry cowboy pokes a seahorse in a way which releases a terrible stink into the world, which means that all anyone can smell is like kimchi. And it's like that kind of like corpsey kimchi smell. And the smell is so horrific, people stop procreating, even kissing. They're grumpy all the time. Eventually, they stop eating. It's a sort of really slow, smelly apocalypse. Luckily, the cowboy and the seahorse have agreed to put the stink of the world back to just fine or variable. But only if you, and weirdly, it does have to be you, Clodagh, agree to make 890 million loom bands, all whilst doing the rumba, but also whilst singing Adele's new song Easy On Me on a loop, but in Spanish. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. Your award, in reality, is a place in history as the woman who saved us all from a smelly apocalypse. Your award in the moment, and bearing in mind the rumba, your mouth was busy singing 890 million loom bands. You are starving. Your award in the moment is the feast of your dreams. Now it's a fantasy feast. It's the opposite of a last meal because you couldn't be happier and you couldn't be hungrier. I don't care in this instance, as it's a fantasy. I don't want you to think about consequences. I'm not particularly interested in health, ethics, any of those things. Just in an example of pure, decadent, hedonistic, genuine, what's going to bring you the most joy in your fantasy in that moment. If you were the happiest and hungriest you possible, what would you eat and drink? And if you can,
a glass of Chablis and six curling fruit oysters from Ireland.
Oh,
that gives me joy every time. It's my biggest treat.
I love it. And would you go anywhere? Is there anywhere particular you'd love to have those oysters and Chablis?
Yeah, in West Cork in Ireland.
Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for doing this. Best of luck with the book. It's brilliant.
So
I've cooked
much
from it. It was flipping delicious.
Oh, I hope it's not cold now.
I highly recommend. I sort of sneakily ate it while you were talking me through your Christmas, babe. It was joyful.
Thank you. Oh, how funny. Okay.
Almost anyway. Happy days. Lovely. Lovely to meet you.
Oh, and you too. Thank you so much for having me on your wonderful podcast.
Pleasure. Take care. Go well. And I'll see you again.
Yes. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. What a lovely one. Clodagh's new book of quick dinner recipes is called In Minutes, and it's in shops now. Make a very good birthday present, well, for Jesus, or Christmas present, I would say. If you're still shopping for those, if you know someone who likes cooking dinners, but real quick. And there's loads of recipes, as she mentioned, on her website, clodaghmckenna.com, including all the new Christmassy ones that have just gone up there. And if you don't already follow her, which I'm sure you do, sounds like she's a bloody national treasure. She is at clodagh_mckenna. And Clodagh is clodagh_mckenna, mckenna, on the gram. Everything interesting that she or I mentioned, including links to her book, her website and her Instagram, are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Use them, please. Feel free to support this podcast hoovering with lovely reviews and recommendations, or indeed with cold hard money over on Patreon or an Acast supporter. Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on there too, at Jessica Foster Q. Anything longer than a tweet you want to send me, you can email me through my website, and that's also where you can buy tickets to see me doing stand-up, jessicafosterq.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.